Hello, Taxonomy Titans. I just wanted to give you a little warning that there is something wrong with my audio, and I still don't know what it is. Hopefully it's not too infuriating, but I just wanted to give you a heads up. But as always, thank you for listening.
It seems that no matter where you live, you have to deal with mosquitoes. Whether you're in the Alaskan mountains or in the jungles of Panama, the biting boys are everywhere. Long ago, the white-nosed coati said, enough is enough, and found an ingenious way to keep those bloodsuckers at bay. It may not necessarily be life-saving, but it is a great way to not let the bugs drive you crazy here in life, death, and taxonomy.
Welcome back to Life, Death, and Taxonomy. It's your 30 minutes of interesting animal information. I'm Joe.
And I'm Carlos.
Thank you to Cassie for the creation of our theme song. To hear more of Cassie's music, please search Cassie Michelle on YouTube or Spotify.
And thank you to Johanna for the creation of this week's artwork. To check that out, you can visit us at our home on the web at ldtaxonomy.com. And a very special thank you to our patrons, to Jesse Raspolich, Carol Raspolich, Richard Caspar, Lottie and Aubrey, Gray Hughes, and Wednesday Rabbit. Thank you so much for your support. It's greatly appreciated. Thanks for helping us keep the lights on.
And today we're talking about a rainforest weasel, but more on that later.
Yeah, this one is another Zaboomafoo inspiration. It's just, this was a while ago. I added this to the list back when the kids still watched it. That dream is long dead. Every time I try to get them to watch it, they're like, I don't want to watch this. No.
Maybe Zabu it'll come. Land is weird. It's not even real.
It is not even real. You're right. But neither is Animal Junction. Maybe they'll come back around when they're like seven or something like that. But just right now, it's just not that interesting. Not enough songs. But they like puppets. So I don't know why. They don't like Zabu. I mean, they're
Zabu
fine with it. They would just rather watch a colorful, like, super little kids show than something educational, which is just deeply disappointing.
When I was a child, I did not know that Zabu wasn't a real lemur.
I mean, he is sometimes.
Like, I knew they were making him talk with moving magic. But when he's running around as a real lemur, and then all of a sudden he's a puppet. That was a seamless continuum.
There's a lot of they do a lot of work with scene continuity there, to keep the illusion alive. Yeah. Anyway, the kids would rather watch just cartoon 3D stuff about cars and dogs and stuff like that than watch Zabu, which is it's fine. But yeah, they talked about the coati and mentioned a particular fact that I thought was interesting, so I was like, I'm adding this one to the list.
Pass on the coati.
Pass.
That's the town in Pete's Dragon. But do you know? Yeah, we're talking about the coati. Is it coati? Coati?
Coati. That's what Chris and Martin call it, and they're the experts.
Coati mundus. That's fun to say.
Is it?
That means world coati.
Coati of the world.
Do you want to know what science calls it?
No, because it's, well, the specific one for this one is the white-nosed coati. It's also known as the Antoon or Antuon. Because it's Spanish. So, Antoon. It's a gato solo. The lonely cat. The only cat. The single cat. Pisote and tejon. These are all words to for the coati. We're going to call it here the Woot Off the White-Nosed Coati and Neat Deet Feet.
Tejon is Spanish for badger.
Yeah, they call it a cat. They call it a badger.
Some of these aren't names. They're just misidentifications in Spanish.
Well, I mean, it's like, look, it's a bear cat. It wrong. Look, it's a koala bear. Yeah. Look, it's a...
But it's not bear cat. It's just badger. That's a cat.
It looks...
Some people call it a cat. No, they thought it was a cat. It's a coati.
It's a cousin of the raccoon, which is basically a cat.
Yeah. So now do you want to know what?
Sure. Yeah.
Science calls it.
Yeah.
They're in the kingdom Animalia. They're in the phylum Chordata. They're in the class Mammalia. So far, they're everything you are. They're in the order Carnivora. That means they eat meat.
That's weird because I totally do too.
For eating meat. But they have a face shape for eating meat.
Yeah.
We just do it because it's like what the cool kids do.
I have a face shaped for eating Werther's Originals. So it's just very, very different like applications here.
They're in the family... Procyonidae.
Procyonidae. Raccoons. Or in raccoon-like things.
Oh. They're in the genus Nassau. Isn't that how you spell Nassau?
Nassau?
Like
the capital of the Bahamas?
Oh, I've... No, it's not spelled the same.
N-A-S-S-A-U. Yeah.
So this is UA, so it is UA.
Nassua.
UA! That's what Sabufu says.
We're right back to Zabu.
And the species, the binomial name, Nassua Narica in the Valley of the Wind.
Narica in the Valley of the Wind. Yeah, well, since we're in the business of naming things, it's time for my favorite part of the show. Critter groups, the part of the show where I ask you Joe a question, and that question is the same every time. What is the name of a group of this animal? What is the term of veterinary? Or what is the collective noun? If you saw a group of coatis, would you say it's A, an act of coatis, B, a band of coatis, C, a clan of coatis, or D, a dell of coatis?
A dell? I'm going to say it is a band of coatis. Final answer.
You cheating? Because that's correct. Ding, ding, ding.
Nope, I just figured it's kind of like a monkey. And monkeys are in troops. A band of brothers. Band of brothers are troops.
What was raccoon? Because we've covered raccoons. I forgot, but I don't think that was banned also.
Group of raccoon is called a...
A gaze. Nursery. It's a gaze. Or a nursery. And these guys are related...
Gaze?
They're as related to monkeys as raccoons are, which is not at all.
Do you want to know what it looks like?
Sure.
Coatis have long tails that they hold aloft while moving. That may be why I thought they were monkey-like. Because monkeys do that.
Sure, so do cats. When,
their color ranges from light to dark brown, depending on the species. Species means specific, doesn't it? I'm just realizing that.
Species?
Because it's the most specific category. Species.
It's derives from the same word. You got it.
They have lighter facial markings. If you've ever seen the famous video, that is like, it looks like little dinosaurs, like little long-necked dinosaurs.
Little brontosauruses running around.
It's these guys. It's a reverse video of them walking.
If you look at
a reverse video of coatis, it looks like long-necked dinosaurs. Earning them inner long fame. Necks.
Eating those tree stars.
Time terminology.
Little
coatis measure... I won't tell you that, but their tail is roughly as long as their body. They have a very long tail. But they're like generally like... It's like a raccoon if you like stretched it out, made it lankier and longer.
Okay.
But that brings us to their relative size. Welcome to the Measure Up segment, the listener's favorite part of the show, the part of the show when we present the animal size and dimensions through a quiz that's fun for the whole family. It's also part of the show that's introduced by you when you send in audio of yourself saying, singing, or chittering the words Measure Up into ldtaxonomy@gmail.com. We don't have a new Measure Up intro this week, so that means we get to hear from an animal, and Carlos has to guess who it is. That was from memory. I forgot to write it down. I forgot to copy and paste it in. That was pure memory.
Oh, nice. I didn't know that you had to read it every time.
I don't. I just have been. Apparently, I do not. Without further ado, the listener's favorite part of the show.
What is happening?
Everyone, we need to get it out now. Do you know what that's from?
At first I thought it was like some weird commercial for Over the Hedge I'd never seen before. They have the perfect home. One day, one animal, one destiny.
It's a animated movie from 2021 called Coati with Sofia Vergara and other cast members. I don't know other ones. It is a movie about coatis, an animated movie about coatis.
Hmm.
That I've never heard of. That just came out a couple of years ago.
Yeah, me neither.
It looks horrible.
Oh, then I'm gonna go with a coati character from the movie Coati. That's my final answer.
Yeah. Probably. I don't know his name. Who cares?
Who cares?
I saw this. I bet his name is Coati. It's spelled with a K.
But like, and a W. Like K-W A-T-T-I. Coati.
It's regular, but with a K.
Is his name really Coati with a K?
The name of the movie is Coati with a K.
Oh.
So I'm assuming.
So this is funny. The character's name is just cool.
The movie is called Coati with a C, but his character's name is Coati with a K. he's a Coati named Coati, but they're different.
But everyone just calls him Coati with a K. That's just, yeah. Hey, it's Coati with a K. Come sit by us for lunch today. Oh, that rhymed.
That's a beautiful poem. They're 33 to 70 centimeters, or 13 to 28 inches. The body length. So with the tail, it's double that. So how many thicknesses of a coat of car paint goes into the length of a coati? Those are always linguistically challenging.
Think thicknesses.
Yeah.
That sounds like a term of entry. It's a thickness
how
of
many
coatis.
How many thicknesses of a coat of car paint goes? Not good.
No, it would be go, right? Because you're talking about the thicknesses.
Thicknesses.
How many thicknesses
go, yeah.
of a coat of car paint go?
Yeah. But Grammarly thought it was goes because it was of car paint.
Yeah. It has a hard time finding the what is it, the antecedent?
Uh-huh. So here's a hint. Coats of paint are measured in a unit called mils, M-I-L-S.
It's a 1,000.
Which are about 0.001 inches, yeah.
Yeah, 1,000.
Or 25.4 microns. So when you're painting exterior buildings, you're aiming for 4 to 6 mils per coat. How do you control that? I have no idea.
You just paint, take a look,
viscosity.
Some tweezers and make sure you have you take out some of the molecules to make sure you have enough mils.
Are we
doing body length or full body and tail length?
Body length, 70 centimeters or 28 inches.
I don't know. 150 mils sounds good. 1.5% of an inch. Goodness. 2,000.
Correct answer is 3,733 coats of car paint.
That was a lot closer than I thought it was going to be. I thought it was going to be like way more. But yeah, I was close. I just, because I completely guessed that a coat of paint was 150.
I don't think I did something
mils.
Right. Because it wasn't.
It sounds like it's a little less.
No,
I got it wrong. And I thought it was like, it must have been like a.
Hold on a second. What did I say? What did I find?
I literally just had to do math
really?
Using mils for the real estate exam. So, yeah, because that's how things are taxed is by mils. Because it's a lot of, instead of like percentages,
so
it's decimals of a percent.
Oh, you know,
not in Florida anymore, though. Goodness gracious.
Copilot do the math. And Copilot is bad at math. 7.5 mils is the answer. So I don't know how the math is bad. Math is bad.
7.5 mils.
373.
Wait, 7.5
mils? 20 inches divided by 7.5 mils.
You're right.
3,000? How did...
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, you said 4,000, and you guessed 150 mils. And I said 7.5 mils. Oh.
I said 2,000. Yeah. The answer is 3,000.
Mils are so thin, right? You can add 100 of them. And it only... What the heck?
And it really does.
Someone explain this to me.
Yeah. I said 150 mils.
Enough thinking about that. Let's talk weight.
Yeah, I don't want to think about this anymore. It hurts.
They're between 3 and 8 kilos, or 6.6 to 17.6 pounds. How many World War II American jump boots go into the weight of a Kawati? Here's a hint. Jump boots were the boots worn by paratroopers in World War II, especially the 101st Airborne Division and the 82nd Airborne Division. Is the 101st in... Is it Easy Company?
Is that Easy Company? I think so.
No, they were the 506th. No, yeah, 101st Airborne Division. 506th Parachute Infantry Regiment. Nice. Yeah.
And then there's the 501st and their stormtroopers. And when I say stormtroopers, I don't mean German stormtroopers.
They're not stormtroopers, though. They're clone troopers.
Star Wars stormtroopers.
And there's a difference.
Oh, I just... Nerd.
I don't have the answers.
I'm not about to get into this.
17.6.
How many pounds did you say the Kawati was? 17.6 pounds. 3. Final answer. three sets of American boots go into American jump.
It's not sets trooper necessarily. Boots
go into the weight of a quaddy.
Yeah.
Oh, actually, the individual boot?
I looked up the weight of the boot.
Oh.
And it gave me a number. So then, whatever that means. If they counted it as pairs, then pairs.
But with, then I have... I have then you, I'm you're doing me a disservice. I'm at a severe disadvantage.
I assumed
here.
It was
if,
a single
it depends
boot.
On if it is a pair of boots or a
the
single
combined
boot makes
weight
literally
of boots only,
it, well, it makes literally twice the
mind.
Difference.
I was gonna say the combined weight of the boots does not matter unless you're jumping, and then I was like, oh yeah, that's what they're for, jumping. No,
no. The combined weight of the boots all matters because you're wearing them.
I guess if you're running, you're technically lifting both of them.
Not all. Like, when you walk, if you're running, if you're sitting, propping your feet up, if you're jumping, if you're, there's all kinds of ways to feel the weight of heavy.
Final answer. Two heavy boots. Final answer was final.
So is it one or two? If the answer is one boot, then my answer is six. If the answer is two boots, if we're going by pairs, then my answer is three.
Fine.
There you go.
I don't know.
I get to have contingency because it literally doubles my answer if we're going by
one or two boots. The answer.
Okay, give us the answer and then we'll find out which one is closer.
I know.
That was. Just record, exactly in the middle of
recreations
what
of the boots are around 4 pounds.
So we don't know.
So is that 2 pounds each, or is it 8 pounds combined?
Someone is. That's not helpful.
If you look up the weight,
it's got to be like one or the other.
4 pounds.
Like, tell us
say,
if it's per boot.
I don't know. I'm assuming it's per boot. It's a boot. It's 4 pounds. I would think I've seen
that may be
other,
pretty heavy for a boot.
Other boots
maybe
are
it's
3 pounds.
For both. Maybe it's 2 pounds a boot.
Anyway, would you like to hear some fast facts? I like how both of those, both that's depends on the liquid.
What about Das Boot?
The both of those measure ups had ended with a question and uncertainty, which is the listeners love. They love a little uncertainty.
That was
okay,
rough.
Okay, let's talk fast facts before we get into the major fact. They
that
live
was
in a habitat
rough.
In a range. So basically we're the same because we do that too. Although we don't have a range. Our range is space. Like we can get human beings. Same. Kowatis
my range is over my
habit. Diverse environments, including hot and arid areas, cold mountain slopes, tropical rainforests, and grasslands. They are native to South and Central America, Mexico, that's in Central America, and the southern United States. I did not know that. I didn't, like, what are they in? Are they in Texas? Interesting. Dieting and foraging. Kowatis are
Kowatis
omnivorous,
in Texas.
Which means they eat a bunch of stuff, feeding on fruit, invertebrates, small vertebrates. If it's going to eat a spine, it better be small. And eggs. They have an excellent sense of smell and agile paws, which allow them to forage for food in their surroundings. Their little nostrils can move in many different directions. Like, I think we talked about that with the black bear. Their nostril can move independently.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Omnidirectional nostrils.
Yes. Kowatis
it's
are
a perk,
social
not a right.
animals. And they travel in groups. These groups consist of, I guess, these bands consist of females and younger males. Once males reach maturity, around 2 years old, they live alone and rejoin the group only for mating. So they're solitary. Solitary mans like Johnny mm-hmm. Cash. The name Kodamundi comes from the Tupian language indigenous to South America. I hope I said that right. It combines kua, meaning belt, and tim, meaning nose. They have a belt nose. Well said. It's better than accidentally just calling them a badger. It refers to the way that the Kuwatis sleep with their nose tucked.
Look at that cat.
Oh, it's like you're putting your nose in your belt. It's cute. It's imagining them with pants. That's funny.
In your belt. Yeah, that's fun.
Kuwatis are agile climbers equipped with powerful claws, swiveling ankles, and long tails for balance. And they can run at speeds of up to 24 kilometers per hour or 15 miles per hour. And they're skilled at descending trees quickly. That's all I got for that.
Mm-hmm. Are you ready for Senor Facts? That's Lord Facts. All right. Or Mr. Facts. So specifically, I chose the white-nosed Kuwati because it's one of the species of Kuwati that are just fed up with bugs. They like to eat them, but they don't like to be bitten by them. And they're one of the few animals that have taken steps about to remedy this situation. They're tired of getting bit by mosquitoes and other biting insects, and so they have found a way to keep them away. And they do this with an insect repellent. Specifically the resin from a specific kind of tree, which has a long name. Well, I'll try it here. Tratinikia aspera. Is the typical kind of tree that they will get resin from, and then they will rub it on each other. It's easier to rub it on another Kuwati than on yourself. At first they weren't sure why they were doing this, but and they thought it was maybe like a scent marking thing. But recent studies have shown that it's most likely an insect repellent. The plants have their chemical composition contains compounds like one called limonene, which has insect repellent properties. And there are a lot of natural or at least good natural insect repellents. Neem, the neem tree being one of them. But the Kuwatis have managed to find one that is nearby. Some insects find these to be unpleasant or even toxic, and they can create the shield against mosquitoes, ticks, other biting insects. And this is actually like a really interesting, intelligent behavior by them. It's not just, oh, let me roll around in mud and maybe they'll leave me alone. Even elephants can do that. But they say, no, I'm going to get this particular resin and I'm going to coat all my friends in it. And then hopefully I scratch their back and they scratch mine because I need some too. And we're now just entering into the phase of summer where we are having to put bug spray on the kids. Sunscreen and bug spray, which is just it's just such a delightful smell when they're both put together. It's like all my kids smell like urinal cakes now. But at least they're not going to get burned or bit. My poor daughter gets these huge welts whenever she gets bit by mosquitoes, that it's like super important for us to make sure that she gets sprayed. So I can empathize with the Kuwati in this one. But yeah, I mean, that's pretty much all I got. Like they are essentially using tools, which is, you know, not super uncharacteristic of the raccoon family, which are usually pretty intelligent, pretty resourceful, and can sometimes use tools. But even raccoons don't use bug spray. But yeah,
that's all I got.
That's all I got.
I'm trying to think of like.
Do you got anything else?
What's the adaptive like logical path to learning that some liquid, some resin, doesn't like you don't get bit by insects when you have this on you?
So well, it's probably like, pretty this pungent, smells especially a lot. For a koala.
Mosquitoes who have and agency. So- and are things outside of myself. I'm a Kawadi. I can think about these things.
I spend time around this plant, and when I do not get bitten by very often. And so the more time I spend around this plant, the less I get bit, which is something that I like. And then so I like the smell of this plant, and so I will bring the smell of this plant where I go, and I will get bit less often, and that works. And I rub it on other people, and I rub it on other Kawadis, yeah. And that's well, behavior I guess, that I teach a Kawadi to my children
from parents potentially. It's not like a bug learning something.
Yeah, it's
anyway.
It may not be a natural thing. Right. Bugs usually eat their parents, so, you know, there's that little hiccup when it comes to learning anything from them. But, yeah. That is the Kawadi for you out there in Podcastia. But be a loner, eat some bugs, and rub your friends and family with tree resin to keep the skeets away like the Kawadi here in Life, Death, and Taxonomy.
Hey Taxonomy Titans, I just want to remind you that we now have a Patreon. Patrons can see full video episodes and get shoutouts on the show. But ultimately, it's a way for you to help us cover some costs and get even better. Still, reviews are the best way to help us grow. So if you haven't left one yet, we'd really love to hear from you. As always, thanks for listening and engaging.
Favorite in the world podcast.
Skeeter. Remember Skeeter?